When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday, and that means a visit with Victor Jakes, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, Victor, I was telling some of my friends earlier that the first question I was going to ask you, is there anything other than COVID-19 to write about? When you're doing 3 columns a week in a community like this, what about it?
Well, that's definitely been the hot topic. So I am writing this week on some political stuff, some of the attacks going on in Congressional District 3, but it has been 90% COVID-19.
Did you and your beautiful family have a chance to get out and actually enjoy a dine-in meal sometime between 12 and 1 Saturday morning and now?
We've not been into a restaurant yet, but we are looking forward to it, and I'm sure it will happen. Don't tell anyone, but we did have some friends over on Saturday. So,
oh, there you go. So you are, but you were socially distancing, right?
I'm sure our kids stayed 6 feet away from all the other kids.
let me just ask you: some of the reports that we're getting now is that a lot of restaurants were caught by surprise because of the timing of when they were going to be free and when they learned about this, that a lot of restaurants, in particular the big chain restaurants, they simply were not ready to go. Folks like the Lazy Dog that has locations on Las Vegas Boulevard and in downtown Summerlin, they supposedly are not reopening until the 18th. Was the timing of this all wrong?
Well, it was odd. I mean, I'm glad he opened up on Saturday. I mean, it definitely seemed rushed. I think there's some backstory there that we don't know in terms of exactly why they were opening up on Saturday. But look, I think opening up was exactly the right decision. And so, you know, even if I wish there had been a little more notice, I don't want to knock Governor Sisolak for changing his mind, because he changed his mind to come to the right decision. And so, we'll celebrate that.
Well, I thought it was odd. The 12:01. It was like an execution. It'll occur at 12:01 on Saturday. I do understand why opening up on Saturday, because it gives some of these restaurateurs an opportunity to make back some money for Mother's Day. But a lot of them that I've talked to, and I called around just to see who was going to be open on Mother's Day, And a lot of them said, we're just not ready to go yet. So,
I mean, you think about you opening a restaurant. It's not as simple as, well, you just turn the sign from closed to open. I mean, you got to call back your staff. You got to call back the cooks. You got to figure out how am I rearranging the inside of my restaurant. And so, I mean, that's a lot of work to do in 36 hours. So, or even, I mean, by the time he announced it, it would have been more like 33 hours. So, yeah, I don't think it's surprising that a lot of restaurants decided to, you know, well, look, we got to kind of get our stuff together before we can open.
You've got a beautiful family. Are you afraid of going out? Are you afraid of going out to a restaurant?
No. Well, I mean, not from coronavirus, from my kids acting crazy.
Understand.
But that hasn't changed. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think what we know about the virus is, the chances of someone who is younger and without an underlying condition getting sick is very low. And does that mean you go out and you cough on every stranger? Well, of course not. Look, I mean, I think it's important to, you know, do the social distancing thing. I try and wear the mask into the store, even though I'm not 100% at it. And I think a lot of that is just courtesy for other people, because even though, you know, personally, I don't feel like I'm at great risk. I mean, I don't want to pass it on to those I know who are, you know, a little bit older or could be at a higher risk. I mean, I think that's just, you know, that's just kind of the nice thing to do. But I'm not worried. But, you know, look, I think everyone's going to have a different comfort level, and I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think everyone has to have my comfort level, and I don't think I have to have everyone else's comfort level. I think we're capable of making our own decisions and being respectful of other people at the same time.
The governor at his news conference last week was very vague about what the metrics will be for getting to phase two. And to be honest, I'm not even sure what phase two is or what it will end up being. Were you worried, though, that we don't have the metrics? We can't plot this thing out?
Well, actually, I think that's a sign that we're opening sooner rather than later, the fact that he's been vague on the metrics. I mean, he said we needed a 14-day, like, day-to-day decline in some undefined metric. And I think they put the metric out over the weekend, and we did not have a 14-day day-to-day decline. I mean, we were on a downward slope, but there were some up moments in there. But I think we're ready. I mean, that's the thing, is I think we're ready. I think people are ready to use the judgment about what risk category they're in. And I mean, the problem is look, I mean, if we just keep delaying it, we're not eliminating the risk entirely. There's no moment where we go, oh boy, it's over, it passed. So if we can't eliminate the risk entirely, then we have to say, well, we've got to accept some risk. And let's do that in a smart way where we don't just crush the economy even more than it's already been crushed.
What do you view as phase two? Do you have a handle on what phase two is going to look like?
No, he really hasn't put that out. I mean, I think the biggest thing is the casinos. He said definitively, but subject to change, of course, that the casinos won't be opening in phase one. Now, the week before that, he has said that they won't be opening at the beginning of phase one. So I think they're going to be open by Memorial Day. I think that's going to happen. And I think that's good. I think the casinos are putting some good measures in place to mitigate risk the best they can. You know, you might see gatherings of up to 50 people. That would be kind of my guess, is they would increase the gathering size a bit. Maybe they open the gyms back up. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the bars or the large events. Those, I think, would probably be, you know, the phase three, maybe the middle of June.
Wow. So in other words, you think though that that by early June or thereabouts, we could have casinos up and running?
Oh no, I think the casinos are going to open by Memorial Day. Yeah, I really do. I really think. You know, I mean, the governor's obviously left himself a lot of wiggle room. He's basically abandoned any sort of idea that, you know, there are certain metrics you have to meet before phase two or phase three. And I think, I mean, look, you can't stop the risk. That's the thing, right? It's not a decision between some risk or no risk. It's a decision between, you know, controlling the risk and reopening the economy, or controlling the risk and just crushing the economy. And I think at some point you got to realize that, look, we have to reopen the economy. This thing's not going away. So we're going to do the best we can. We're going to take precautions. We're going to be smart about it. That's important. but we are going to open back up.
Victor Jakes joining us, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. What is in phase one and what wasn't in phase one that Victor Jakes would like? We're going to get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. So good to have you with us. Victor Jakes joining us, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. And the question I kind of teased going into the break, we know that a lot of stuff was really positive coming out of that, phase zero going into phase one. But whenever you say, well, these businesses can open, but these need to remain closed, you are declaring winners and losers. Was there anything you saw in the governor's list that made you say, oh, now, wait a minute, wait, you can't open this industry and not let this industry open up? Was there anything like that you saw, any major omissions?
No, I mean, I think what he did made a lot of sense in terms of opening the things up that had the lowest level of risk. Look, barber shops where everyone's in a mask, where the barbers are in a mask, and you're every other chair. I mean, the risk isn't as great as a bar, where people are generally interacting more. So I think that made a lot of sense. I mean, the thing I think you could probably do a little bit more is with the public parks, selfishly as a parent with children. I think it's time to free the playgrounds. But I think the list made sense. I mean, because what he's trying to do is open things up, but not have, groups of 20 or 50 together in one place.
And Victor, let me ask you, the idea that the great outdoors seems to put a damper on the COVID-19 virus, at least some of the findings that we're getting from some of the scientists and the doctors. I guess my question is, should we open up all the beaches? Should we open up all the parks, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the science basically seems to show that getting outside in the sun is one of the best things that you can do. And the Lake Mead is open to pass holders, and so you can get on the beach there. The parks have been open, although some of the amenities, the playgrounds, the basketball hoops are still off the courts. But yes, getting people outside is a very positive thing.
I just, for the life of me, I don't know what is bad about going to a basketball court and playing horse, playing a serious game of horse. There are some things that just don't make sense. For instance, nail stylists and hair cutters are fine, but massage therapists can't operate. Any idea why?
Well, I think you would assume that the massage therapist is in a lot closer contact than the person doing the nails and the hands. Just by the nature
of
what a massage looks like.
You're touching.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say they're both touching, but I mean, if someone's pushing on your back, that's a little different than you have your hands out. And but I mean, certainly it's a judgment call. I mean, I think you can go either way with that. And I think it's one of those things too, where you saw basically reports that the restaurants were open, but people weren't rushing back. And I think that's one of the reasons you can actually open up faster is because people are going to be making those judgments for themselves about what they feel comfortable with and what they don't feel comfortable with. So just because the government says it's okay to go out, doesn't mean everyone is going to go out, which actually makes the case that the government should back off of its regulations because people are going to be responsible.
And you got to give the buying public the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you got to give them some credit for having some brains. They're not going to go into a situation they deem as dangerous. The question is, we've been sold how dangerous this is for months now. How difficult is it to undo that, to get the genie back in the bottle, so to speak?
I actually think my take on what Sisolak did and the timing of it is actually he basically saw the state opening it up. I mean, if you look at things like Apple does this mobility data where they compare how often people are asking for directions, and mid-March, I mean, you just saw this huge decline, 50%. And in the middle of April, basically, it started ticking back up, and right now it's 6% below where it was in the middle of January and 9% in Nevada. So I really think, Sisolak's reaction move was at least in part motivated by the fact that people were going out. People were basically saying, I've made a judgment about how at risk I am and I'm going to act accordingly. And a lot of people started to go back out. I think some of the rural counties have taken some more proactive steps to open restaurants up and stuff. And so I think that's already happening. I think people are already basically saying, I'm ready to do what I'm comfortable with and whatever the government says.
I've had some restaurateurs tell me, yeah, you can get us open, and there may be people coming through the door, but the business model that I have doesn't work at 50% capacity. The profit margin is only, what, 4% or 5%, depending on which restaurateur you talk to.
Yeah.
At what point are we going to start seeing businesses saying, I can't operate like this. I'm sorry, but I can't.
Well, I mean, I think it's just, I don't think it's going to be one big crash. I mean, I think it's just going to be a slow, steady thing where, you know, Ricardo's, RJ had a paper story in the paper, I think, last week about it. You know, they've been in business for 40 years, and they said, look, this you know, pushed us over the edge. We're done. And so I think you're going to see that. You know, some businesses think, well, I can hold on, and then 2 months of, you know, 50%, you know, normal occupancy in their restaurant, and they're going to say, well, look, I tried, and I just can't make the mortgage payment anymore. So I think you're going to see a lot of that happening. I think you're going to see an increase in bankruptcies, and it's going to be hard, even potentially a couple of years here.
I want to ask you in a final couple of minutes, the coronavirus has reached into the West Wing at the White House. How dangerous is this when you see the vice president's press secretary testing positive? That means that the vice president probably should self-quarantine, although he's not at this point. Can you talk a little bit about how dangerous this is? And in particular, when you're talking about being so close to the president of the United States.
Well, yeah, obviously it's a concern. I mean, President Trump is in the high risk group, just given his age, and obviously he's the president, so there's concerns about that. I mean, I think that's why they do such aggressive testing, is they want to keep the president healthy, and obviously the president still has a lot to do. You know, he can't just lock himself in a closet for 2 months like the rest of us sort of can. So it's important. It's important to get him tested. It's important to get him treated. But, yeah, I would be very concerned. I would absolutely be very concerned if I was the White House.
Hey, Victor, it's always good visiting with you. You guys get out, get into a restaurant, sit down, let the kids act up. It doesn't matter because you're free. And then we'll talk about your experience next Monday. How about that?
I look forward to it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The kids will be acting up, but we don't really care because, well, because we're free. Sort of. Coming up, the Sunday shows were full of really two, maybe three things. Michael Flynn, who looks like he is exonerated, even though the former President Obama trashed on him. Also, the coronavirus and the economy, the big three. We'll have elements of all three of those coming up in just a couple minutes. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It's Monday. It's live and local now. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. It ain't me. I ain't no senator.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are retreating after last week's rally as investors worry about a second wave of coronavirus infections with the reopening of several economies. Travel and hospitality stocks, which have been battered due to a collapse in global travel, are slipping again today. And shares of Marriott International are falling over 4.5% after the hotel operator's quarterly profit fell short of already drastically lowered expectations. Marriott and other hotels have cut tens of thousands of jobs in an effort to steer their businesses through the pandemic. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is threatening to move the electric car maker's headquarters out of California after health officials in Alameda County said the company's factory could not yet reopen from its COVID-19 related shutdown. Musk is anxious to reopen the facility, with the company growing a backlog to deliver its vehicles as well as its new Model Y crossover SUV. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Chris Foster. The nation's governors have been hearing from Vice President Pence on a teleconference about safely getting back to work during the coronavirus outbreak. He's at the White House despite his press secretary testing positive for the virus.
Over the weekend, the heads of the Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said they would self-quarantine. And the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Anthony Fauci, said he would practice what he called a modified quarantine.
Fox's John Decker in Washington. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro tells Fox, looking ahead as the economy is built back up.
Remember to look into the future, see where we need to go and what we need to do, and that's bringing manufacturing and supply chains home, starting with our pharmaceutical supply chains and our medical supplies and equipment like masks.
America's listening to Fox News.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, more than ever, it's time for us to say thank you to America's military heroes, past and present. All month long, hear stories of courage, honor, and sacrifice from the men and women who fought on the front lines and continue to keep our country safe. Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, for a limited time, receive a free signed copy of Pete Hegseth's new book with the purchase of a one-year subscription to Fox Nation.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
So good to have you with us. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday, and joining us now, as he does every week, we're still trying to track whether the governor has reached out to one of the leaders in the state Senate, Scott Hammond, who joins us. State Senator Scott Hammond joining us from his home here in Southern Nevada. And Scott, first of all, let's follow up on that. We've been doing this for like, I don't know, six, 7 weeks. Every week I ask you the same question. Every week I get the same answer.
Yes, you do.
Let me ask you the question just one more time. Have you heard from the governor?
Well, yes, I did. I heard from the governor last week. He gave me a call. First of all, I should say thanks for having me on the program again, Kevin. I hope you had a great weekend. Mother's Day was yesterday, and to all your mothers out there, we all appreciate what you do, your sacrifices, and everything that you bring to the families, to my wife and to my mother and everybody in between. So thank you very much. But it's great to be with you this morning. I had a conversation with the governor. I thought it was pretty productive. I got a chance to talk to him about all the concerns that people are bringing to me, that people call me all the time, my town halls, people in my district, in the outside of my district, what their concerns are, what they're worried about, what they'd like to see happen, what needs they have. So it was great to be able to tell him finally, this is what's going on. And of course, it gave me an opportunity and I didn't hold back. I just kind of said, this is how I feel. I gave him a kind of a critique of how I felt that, you know, his performance was during this time. I mean, I know it hasn't been easy for him. I know that you have to make a lot of decisions, but when you run for governor, that's kind of what you are asking for. I can do this. I can show leadership. Well, leadership is communication. You have to be able to communicate to people. And I think that was evident during this crisis, that there was none of that going on. There was such a lack of communication, not only to the people, but to legislators and to business folks, and I thought that needed to be said. And I said, I'd like to see that improve going forward, because people like to know what's going on. I mean, I know that part of your, you know, being the governor is dealing with the budget and other constitutional issues, but another part of that is to give hope, right? To give hope to folks and let them know what's going on during a crisis like this. And you have to be able to bring hope, bring a certain, some sort of certainty to the situation so people can move on to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment. So, you know, it was great. I got to hear from him, and I asked him to continue that communication, because everybody needs to know what's going on and to have a little bit more communication with him. So that was good.
Is there any possibility that he'll join you on one of your teletown halls anytime soon?
Would love that to happen. I'm not sure.
Did you ask him? Did you? I'm curious if you gave him the invite.
No, I did not give him the invite because I had other people planned for this week. But he has promised to be on calls. I think I told you this before. Every week we do sort of a, you know, up to date with his office. It's usually 15 minutes. They usually tell us there's no communication back and forth. We can't ask any up to date questions. They take care of questions that we might have had 5 days ago. So if he is true to his word, he will get on these calls starting now this week at some point. And then that's why I'll ask him to come on the show and the teletown halls and kind of talk to some of the folks out there. I think they would be more than happy to sit down and talk to him and ask him a couple questions. I can guarantee you that some of those questions are going to be about unemployment insurance, because that's exactly what I get. A majority of my calls, even during the day, right before you got on the line with me, I had a young lady named Ashley who was asking me about unemployment insurance. We got to do a better job of communicating that to people, what's going on.
And did the governor give you any indication relative to Dieter when people are going to start being able to get through, when they're going to be able to get their files claimed, when they're going to be able to get their money, for crying out loud?
Well, that was an interesting part of the conversation. We did talk about that. And, you know, the governor was under the impression that the fault lies with the fact that when people are called back, they're not answering. And, you know, I know a lot of people right now are listening to me going, what are you talking about? I've been on there 700 times. I've called them 1,000 times. I've called. And every time I call early in the morning, by the time it's like 8:30, I get through and it tells me the queue is full for the day. I hear that from people over and over again. I know that the governor just hired more people. I think they've tripled the size of Dieter, tripled the size of the unemployment insurance agency, trying to get these claims processed, and I know they're doing the best job they can under these circumstances. But a lot of that stuff, again, goes back to it should have been done, or they should have contemplated this before we shut down, anticipating that there was going to be a large number of people who are going to file for unemployment. So, I'm glad that it's getting done. But for some of you out there who have been calling it over and over again, I know this is of little comfort, but we are getting closer to getting a lot of these claims done. You've got the other parallel system being put into place, hopefully by the end of this week, definitely by the end of May. So those of you who are gig workers or independent contractors should be able to file and get that money that the federal government is putting in your pockets for the time being. That system should be up and running. So if you are a gig worker, you work for Lyft or Uber or some of these other companies, make sure you don't apply to the standard state system. Wait till the new system is put up in place, and then you should be able to get to that claim process quickly.
Again, joining us is State Senator Scott Hammond. He has been in direct contact with the governor, has had a conversation with the governor. I'm curious, was the conversation pre or post news conference last week?
It was. Now you got me. I think it was right after the news conference. No, it was before. It was before the news conference where he announced that we're going to go into phase
yes,
one, which we're
yes.
in into right now. Yeah.
I am I'm curious though. This is a governor that, at least in the public press conferences, has not taken criticism well. He's acted defensively. His bedside manner just wasn't very, very good. I'm curious how he took your criticism.
He actually took it really well. Actually, he kind of said, "Yes, this is we definitely need to have more communication." And I told him, I said, "It was really nice of you to be calling me one on one and having these conversations with me, but that's not even what I need. I don't need you to take more time away from what you're doing. I mean, I don't mind being on a call with 20 20 other senators at the same time." I even said, if you kind of ran it like Trump does when he calls all the governors, and he goes down the line and he says, Governor Sisolak over in Nevada, how are things going? What do you need? What are you seeing out there? I would love for him to be doing the same thing. Senator Hammond, you're in District 18. What's going on in District 18? What do you hear from business folks? What do you hear from the regular folks? What are you hearing about? What are your needs? What are you hearing? I mean, that would be all we need. Sufficient, right? And then be able to ask him questions, a little bit give and take, 2 or 3 minutes, and he goes on to the next person. I think that would be great for him to do, because that's what people are waiting for. And quite honestly, that's kind of why people aren't hearing from him, and that's where the protests are popping up. If he was actually able to communicate a little bit better with people and tell them what is going on and what to anticipate, you probably wouldn't see the angst that's out there. It's just a lot of people are scared. A lot of people were worried, and now a lot of people are worried about when are they going to go back to work? How are they going to maintain their family? What kind of income can they be certain of? People who have been, who have had businesses for so long, that's their baby, that's their pride and joy. Now that's slipping through their grasp. I mean, that's the kind of angst that you're seeing. So that's why you see all these protests come up, and I think that they'll go away as soon as you get more, better communication from him.
I'm curious, there are reports that both Republicans and Democrats in Washington are looking to rejigger, if you will, this $600 federal payment to all unemployed folks, which means that some people in the state of Nevada who may make $300, $400, $500 a week can make more than $1,000 a week on unemployment, and many of them are not willing to come back to work. Are you in favor of that, or are you in favor of I don't know, somehow fixing it to where we either do away with the $600, or you can't stay at home and collect $600 if your business is calling you back?
Well, I'm in favor of getting folks back to work. And right now, the biggest inhibitor is the fact that they're getting $1,000 a week and to sit on the couch, which was fine when we were talking about flattening the curve. That flattening the curve, it happened. It's done. It's moved on. And now we're trying to get people back to work. I know that there are folks out there who took a PPP loan from the as part of the CARES Act to the SBA. These are businesses who took out loans. And in that business loan, they were asked to make sure that they maintained a payroll that was equal to the size of the payroll they paid in February. They're coming in. That's the hardest part, I think, of that contract. They're coming into that part where they can't get people to come back to work in order to fulfill that requirement. And so they're sitting on their, you know, like I said, they're sitting at home. They were trying to flatten the curve. That happened. Now we got to try and get these folks back to work. And I know that there are some businesses out there who are calling them in and they're not coming in back to work. In some cases, you know, if they have a legitimate underlying reason for that, I'm sure that the boss knows or the owner knows, they understand. But trying to get folks back into work, that is a major problem that we're working on right now. I hold a weekly meeting just with folks who own businesses in the district and around town. And that's the number one thing that they're working on is how do we get some employees back to work when there's such an incentive to stay home. So I think they're going to have to figure that out because I don't know if we can go all the way through July without having a workforce back at work.
Now the question is, what about gaming? We were told by the governor that gaming will not come back in phase one. No word yet on phase two or phase three. We don't know what the metrics are for phase two or phase three yet. I'm curious when you think gaming will return. A lot of the gaming interests are pointing at Memorial Day. Do you think Memorial Day is legitimate?
I do. I think that that's very legitimate. I think that they're taking reservations right now. We're starting to see it. Look, we just got into phase one. And by and large, I think it went off without a hitch over the weekend. You saw a lot of businesses opening up. And businesses really making sure that, one, they're taking care of their employees. They're making sure that they have the equipment that they need and that they're instructing them on how to properly maintain distance from, you know, the customer or how to service that customer without having to compromise themselves. I think that there's a lot of training that went on and over the weekend. I also think that consumer, the folks out there who are going into these businesses, I think that they're feeling that they're being taken care of and that people are taking this seriously. And so I think as confidence builds, they're going to see more and more people out and about. You saw that in other states who have opened up a little earlier than us, they're already starting to see a more of a comfort level come back. Perhaps there'll be a spike. I imagine there will be at some point, but I think that as we continue to mitigate, make sure we take the health and safety of the general public seriously. I think that you're going to see more comfort level. I think that you're going to see people here over the Memorial Day weekend in our casinos. I really anticipate them being open. I don't think it's going to be a huge number of people. I don't think that a lot of people are going to feel comfortable going too far away from their homes for a while. It may take July, August until that happens because again, people are just wanting to see, first of all, how does Las Vegas react? How are they going to take care of the customer? And then two, how is everything else going in the rest of the world? Because this is being handled differently in different parts of the world, and you got to be careful about who's coming in. But I think that those are the couple of things that as we get answers to, you're going to see larger crowds coming in to the Las Vegas area as they feel more comfortable that they're going to be taken care of and properly taken care of, and their health and safety is paramount.
Again, State Senator Scott Hammond joining us on Live and Local Now. My name is Kevin Wall. Before we open gaming, people are going to have to be comfortable traveling from out of state to Las Vegas. First of all, can we assume that that gaming cannot survive just on locals' traffic?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great assumption to make. Now, you're going to have to get people coming in, first of all, from neighboring states. That'll be the second step, I think. It's not just the local. The locals will come first as they feel comfortable. And you got to imagine this is a sort of a microcosm of what's happening in communities all around the United States and throughout the world, really. So we feel comfortable. Somebody who's in the L.A. area feels comfortable. Somebody in Sacramento. Somebody in Cedar City, Utah. I mean, it just depends on each community. They're going to have to feel comfortable motoring around, puttering around their own neighborhoods and their own community, and then you'll see that stretch out a little bit further, maybe go a couple hours away again. And you're going to have to wait for that comfort level to happen before they go, okay, I'm going to go a little bit further out. I'm going to go to Vegas, which isn't too far away from L.A. or someplace, San Diego. They're going to come here. They're going to feel more comfortable. That's what you're looking for, that comfort level. Because if you remember, before we had the COVID, before we had the shutdowns, people started to worry that there would be a shutdown, and wherever they were going to be stuck there. And I think that that still is on their minds. But again, as the comfort level rises, you get further and further away from home, you're going to feel a little bit better about that. And that's when you're going to start seeing the crowds come back.
Scott, in your one-on-one with the governor, did the issue of a special session with the legislature come up?
Yes, it did. It came up. We did talk about it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but as many of my colleagues and I and many other people who have called me have speculated, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We've got a lot of issues to take care of. First and foremost, I asked the governor, I said, are we looking at anything other than the budget? Curious because I don't want to see a lot of other legislation introduced. I certainly don't want to see a tax introduced. I don't think anybody actually sees a tax being a discussion of any. I mean, you just can't really have that discussion right now when so many people are hurting. There's no way to introduce another tax. And I told him I just don't want to entertain that. He assured me that really the only thing that might be happening right away is talking about liability. You know, making sure that businesses can be run, we can conduct business without having to worry about somebody coming in and, lawsuits happening left and right. Obviously, as a business owner, you want to protect everybody. You want to do everything that's right. You want to instruct your workers on how to conduct the business. If you're a dental practice, you want to make sure that, you know, all the customers are coming, are taken care of, maybe even staying in the cars until their time is up. I mean, all these protocols and procedures need to be followed. But I don't think that businesses really want to have to worry about constantly whether or not someone's going to be suing them over COVID. And so I think that was one of the first things that we needed to work on. But the budget is definitely something that needs to be addressed and will be addressed. And just for the purposes of those who are listening out there who haven't been here very long, when we are called back into special session, if the governor calls us back into special session, the governor sets the agenda. You won't see us introducing more bills. I can't introduce another bill. It's whatever the governor puts on his agenda, that's what we can work on, nothing aside from that. And so the governor will probably call us in. We'll probably address the liability issue, and then maybe it depends on when we get called in. We have to, fix the budget. But if we don't know if the federal government's going to be sending each state a particular package, an aid package, to help us out, and so we won't know that. If that does happen, maybe we meet again later on, maybe one meeting before the fiscal year's up in June, and then maybe another one in August to kind of rectify the budget then, depending on how much money. If the federal government does send us money and how much money that is, that will help us to determine what we need to accomplish in the special session.
Hey, Scott, always good to visit with you. And by the way, just in our final 30 seconds, any feel for when phase two could begin after talking to the governor?
No, because, again, I think it was right around the time that we were opening up phase one. But I get the feeling if we have a couple of weeks and that we're keeping the number of cases down, and everything goes smooth like it has over the weekend, I think we might be looking at phase two in a couple of weeks, maybe three, definitely before Memorial Day weekend, I think, because that's you have to have that next phase in order for the casinos to be opening up.
Teletown hall tonight?
Absolutely. I'll be doing it again tonight at 7 o'clock. If there's one thing I have enjoyed during this time is being able to communicate as often with my constituents and others. I know I get a lot of people calling in. A lot of people. The phone number tonight for the Teletown Hall, in case you're listening and want to call in, it's 702-723-2861. And I think I'll be having Linda Taché on there with me tonight. She's done a lot of stuff in education, autism. So it'd just be lovely to have her on there with me tonight answering questions.
Very, very, very good and very important. Scott, thanks so much, man. Always good. We'll talk again next week.
Great. Talk to you guys next week. Scott, have a great week.
All righty. Scott Hammond, State Senator, joining us as we continue live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive. If we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hi, I'm Sawyer Silberkraus. My dad, Steven Silberkraus, is running for university regent. He wants to make sure that every kid like me can get a good education. Please vote for my dad, Steven Silberkraus, for university regent. He'll do a good job for you. Paid for by friends for Steven Silberkraus. I love you, Dad.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by Friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Breaking news. We'll follow up on it after the top of the hour. Governor Sisolak has declared a state of fiscal emergency due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll tell you why it's happening. That's all coming up live and local now.
Hey, Nevada. This is Ted Nugent. That's right. Ted Nugent full time. I'm calling on behalf of Republican candidate for Congress, Sam Peters, who I have proudly endorsed. Sam is a retired Air Force officer, a Bronze Star-earning warfighter, and one hell of an American. Like me, he supports God, family, country, President Trump, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and Build That Wall. In fact, leaders at the NRA, we just gave Sam a perfect rating. As a business owner, Sam knows how to get Nevada back to work and our country rocking and rolling again. Join Ted Nugent, the Nugent family. Endorse Sam Peters for Nevada with your vote. Learn more about Sam at Sam Peters. sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, the number 4, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. I approve this message.
This is paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters for Congress. God bless America.
KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.